Jesus will meet you there. Hey, great job singing tonight. Turn around, welcome someone to our service. Say hello. You don't have to hug. You can fist bump, all right? Miss D, if you'll keep playing, look, I want you to think about this. We're going to sing that last verse again. But sometimes in our life, God allows us to get in places that we don't want to be. Has anybody ever been there in your life? You're like, Lord, I wish I didn't have to go through this in my life right now. Hey, when we get there, think about this. The Christian's responsibility to that is to go to God. Don't run from Him. Run towards Him. And I want you to, let's sing this last verse again. I want you to look at the words while you're singing and think about what this song is teaching us. It's teaching us to walk by faith and allow everything in our life to drive us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing out as Brother Mickey leads us on that last verse again tonight.
Kneel at the cross. Give your idols up, look unto realms above. Turn not away to the sparkling cup, trust only in His love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care.
Amen. What a beautiful song. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. So glad to have you with us tonight. And Derek, good to see you back there. Will you pray for us and begin our service in prayer this evening?
Father, help us tonight, Jesus. Speak to us and challenge us tonight. Help me, God, tonight. Lord, yes, Lord Jesus, draw us to yourself.
Amen, amen. You can be seated. And it's so good to have you here with us on this Wednesday evening tonight. When you came in tonight, if you did not get a bulletin, look something like this, would you raise your hand? We want to put one of those in your hand and make sure Miss Brandy didn't right here. Bro Carl, can you help us out right there? Thank you, brother. Hey, you better get about six of them out there, okay? And if you didn't get one, just slip your hand up, and fellas got some right there, and they're going to hand those out. I want to go over, if I can, several announcements with you real quick this evening. And by the way, I'm glad you're here. If you're glad you're here, say amen. Amen. And you know what's better than that? Not only us being here, but God knows we're here. And that's what's important. And I'm excited He's going to help us tonight. I want to, several announcements I need to mention. Don't forget about the teen camp. We are up to, I think, 21 or 22 that are registered online. We still need several young people that are planning to go. So please, parents, make sure if you need help with that, see Ricky or Luann, and they'll be able to help you with that. And then this Saturday for the 3rd through 6th grade, don't forget there's two forms. You have to do one online, and you got to do the one from the police department that Shad got for us. And so if you need to do that tonight, you see Brother Scott or Brother Shad, and they can help you with that. They'll be leaving Saturday at 12 o'clock. Brother Scott, anything else I need to mention about that? and go to CC's, all right? Go to CC's Pizza, all right? So they'll be doing that while they're on the trip, too. And then be back around 5 o'clock, I think, is the goal there. Do make sure they bring socks, though, I think. Make sure they bring socks for the trampoline park. And so that is this coming Saturday here at the church, 12 o'clock. And again, see Brother Shad or Brother Scott if you got questions about that. And junior Sunday school classes are going for that. Then this Sunday night after church, our nursery workers meeting, we're going to get ready to move forward now with receiving and children and things of that nature, our second meeting. So please take note of that. This Sunday night will be right after this PM service. And then March the 9th through the 10th. Last year we took, I can't remember how many guys we took, 8 or 10 or so, but this was the highlight of the year last year. We'd never been to it before, but we all came back. There's an amazing preaching conference. And one of the men that preached last year, Curtis Linton, is going to be preaching again this year, as well as Nate Ainge. And so for all the boys, teens, and men, you can sign up for that out at the Welcome Center. It's $25 plus the hotel, and we will determine that as far as we see who all is going and what hotel to get and whether people want to be in a room with two people or three people. And so we'll work on that closer we get there, but it'll be $25 plus the hotel. But we do need to sign up so I can begin a group registry online for our church. And so that is one thing, fellas. It'd be great to go to, take your son to. If you don't have a son, get one of these young men in church that don't have a daddy and take him. Or if he have a daddy that won't go, you take him, okay? And you mentor that young man and you be a blessing to him in his life. And then be praying too. We're supposed to have some baptisms this Sunday. If you need to be baptized, see me and let me know about that. Really excited about that. We're supposed to have an upward dad that got saved through upward season. Supposed to be baptized this coming Sunday. So really excited to see what God is doing there and all the Lord has in store for that. Membership class, that is an over a miss look, and we will have another one in March, but that says January about our membership class coming up. So that's it for announcements tonight. We're going to sing one more time, so if you will, take your hymn book, and let's go to 293, and Remiki will lead us as we sing the first and last of this song, 293 tonight. Stand up, Steve. Let's stand up. Let's go ahead. Let's don't make Jerry stand up by himself. Amen. Let's sing out tonight.
I have heard of a land on a faraway strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we'll never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old. Never grow old. In a land where we'll never
job singing. You could be seated. I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy if you'll come at this time. And Jimmy Baxter, if you'll come on up this time. I think we put the microphone back in. I know we didn't want you to use the white one. Amen. If you will, I want to mention one thing to you just before Brother Jimmy gets started tonight. If you will, I want you to look inside Miss Jennifer Tremmer. I want to give you an update on her. Something happened today, actually this morning, to her, a setback for her, a minor setback, not a huge, but she has... tomorrow going to have a surgical procedure. She doesn't know what time yet. She doesn't know what time this is going to happen tomorrow. And it should be, she would be leaving the place where she's being, the rehab, Healthcare South. She would be leaving there Saturday. She still may leave the hospital on Saturday. It's going to depend how she recovers from the surgery she's having tomorrow. We do not know a time yet, what time she's going to be having the surgery. But they're going to go in. There's a she's from the surgery and everything she's been through, they're going to try to fix some things, and so help her with that. And so, but I said all that to say this, to pray for her, if you will, for her procedure tomorrow. And then next week, we are going to definitely start on Monday doing meals for her, okay? And her and Chris, and we're going to do Monday. We're going to try to do Monday to Monday. We're going to try to do an entire week of those. If you would like to help with that, say, I want you to let Miss Teresa Marshall know. Let her know. I know several, like my wife and I are doing Monday night. We're doing the first one, and I'm cooking deer meat, okay? So I just want y'all to get that. But whatever you'd like to do, I will say this, though. They are on a specific diet, supposed to be eating some healthier stuff, so it would be best if you get chicken, baked chicken, some stuff like that. They like all vegetables. She assured me of that. They like cabbage, corn, butter beans, peas. So they like everything like that, macaroni, whatever you'd like to get. But we're going to be doing that for a week for her. We're going to take something every day in the afternoon. So if you would like to help with that, please see Miss Teresa or myself or Miss Bridget, and let one of us three know. We'll write it down and make sure we get that to you next week if you can help any day at all. So I wanted to mention that one, put that out there for you and explain what's going on with her. But do be praying for Miss Jennifer. And at this time, Brother Jimmy's going to come and update us on the rest of our prayer needs.
If y'all will look in your prayer in a little bulletin, you'll find a list of prayer needs that's been recognized earlier in last week and this week. While y'all looking at that, I'll go over some that recognized and some that's been brought to my attention. Miss Frieda Allen, Miss D's daughter, is sick and is having problem getting the correct attention and the correct medicine, and she asked if we would keep her in our prayers. Miss Ivy Lindsay is having tests, and Miss Wylena Cutchins is having more tests, and Ronnie Marshall Jr. has had a eardrum issue. Something hit him in the ear and busted his eardrum. So we all remember Ronnie. I know he's in quite a bit of discomfort if something stuck in your ear hard enough to bust your eardrum. So y'all remember those folks. Is there any updates on the list now that are on people that are on the list from last week? That's good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Me and Sandra was talking about that earlier before we left. She was saying, you know, you've got people like Miss Wylena and Miss Peggy, and they've been in church their whole life, and now they're in trouble, and they can't come to church, and because of health reasons, not because they don't want to, and they're just sitting there, and they're wondering, what next? What next? And, you know, if there's any way we could pick them up and lift their spirits up, then just checking on them, I'm sure, would be a big help. And let them know that we've not forgotten them. And, any new requests? Okay. Amen. Yeah. Unfocused. February 16th. And you got AFib. Yes, Carl. Welcome to my world. Anybody else? Before we go to the Lord in prayer, I got a couple of verses of scripture I'd like to read. This has been on my heart this week with Miss Jennifer and Miss Wilena and all the people with the flu, and it just looked like everywhere we turn there's somebody new that's sick, and Miss D's daughter has come down with, and it's just everywhere, and it seems to be worse than normal, and we pray, and we don't seem to get immediate results, and sometimes it can be disheartening. But I want to read a couple of verses of scripture this afternoon. In Matthew 12 and 27, Jesus says, "If I, by Beelzebub, cast out the devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be out your judge. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." And we see that he mentioned this, the importance of the kingdom of God in Matthew, and the Beatitudes in Matthew 6:31 and 33. He says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek," the world, other than the non-Jewish world, he was speaking of in this verse. "For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of, that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He says, are you naked? Don't seek clothes. Seek the kingdom of God. Are you hungry? Don't seek food. Don't come to God for food. Seek God. Seek him for who he is. Are you thirsty? Don't ask him for drink. Ask him to meet with you. Seek God. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek Jesus Christ. He has bought these things and paid for them at the cross of Calvary. And we need to seek his presence and his for who he is, and not for what he can do for us. He told the multitude that sought him after he fed the multitude, he said, "Y'all seek me not for what I can not for who I am, but because y'all want to eat again. Y'all want another meal. And we all get hungry, and we all get wore out on clothes, and we all get sick. But the remedy for all these things is to seek Jesus Christ and his blessings. And by seeking Christ and the work he did at Calvary, then the answers to our prayers are already there. He's already answered our prayers in the cross. And exactly what time and when he'll reveal that answer to us, we don't know. But we can rest assured that he knows about our problems, and he hears our needs, and he hears our cries, and we can't give up. We got to walk by faith. If we knew the time and the place, it wouldn't be by faith anymore. But we got to keep our eyes focused on the cross and on Christ Jesus. And in him shall we be healed by his stripes, by every drop of his blood that he laid on that road, on the road to Calvary. Every drop was a healing drop for cancer and for flu. Only by those stripes and that blood can we be truly healed. It was all paid for that day at Calvary. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you, Lord. We seek in your face, and Lord, we praise you, and we just want to glorify you, Lord, and the way we live, and the way we talk, and the way we act, and what we watch on TV, and what we listen to on the radio, and Lord, and the way we act in our lives, the way we act to our husband, and the way we act to our wives, Lord, we want it to be a glory unto you, Lord, that you may fellowship with us, Lord, and that we may know you for who you are, Lord, and not for what you can do for us, Lord, because you've already done everything a God can do for a man, Lord, and you told us that if we would just humble ourselves and pray and turn from our sins, Lord, that you would answer our prayers, that you would heal our land, you would heal our self, our bodies, you would clothe us, you will feed us, and you will give us water to drink, water that we know not of. And Lord, I want to lift these names up to you, Lord. You know, you already knew about them before they were called out here tonight, Lord, but you told us to come to you, Lord, with our requests and our petitions, and you would take them under advisement. And Lord, I want to lift up Miss Frieda Allen and Miss Jennifer Trammell. Lord, I want you to say a special prayer for Miss Jennifer, Lord. I don't understand how a person that seemed to have the Spirit of God riding with her everywhere she goes can be in the hospital, broke down. But Lord, you know all things. And Lord, I know you hadn't forgot about Miss Jennifer. And I noticed whatever comes out of this will be so much better than what she had before. But Lord, right now we're in the midst of the battle, and the victory is not easy to see. And Lord, I lift up Miss Jennifer to you, Lord, that you would comfort her during these times. Lord, you'd give her a peace that surpasses any understanding she's ever had before. Lord, I lift up Miss Ivy and her test, and Miss Wilena, Lord, and all the Christians that are getting closer to going home, Lord, that are no longer as active of members in this physical kingdom you've got here on earth, Lord, but are still just as active spiritually as they've ever been, Lord. Their prayers are heard, and Lord, you've got your ear tuned for them. You've inclined to them, Lord. You've bent over so you can hear them good. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would assure them that you heard their prayers, and Lord, we thank them for their prayers, Lord, because their prayers for us is probably more effectual than our prayers for them. And Lord, I just want to thank you for that. I want to lift up Mr. Ronnie Marshall, Lord, Mr. Ronnie Marshall Jr., Lord, that he's injured his ear, Lord, and Lord, you give us two ears and two eyes, but we'd like to have both of them, Lord. And I pray you'd give him a touch tonight, Lord. I pray for the son that's gone back to work, for Miss Kim as she goes back to the doctor on the 16th and with the AFib issue, Lord, that you would have straightened all that out for, Lord. You'd reveal to the doctor exactly what medicine and what treatment she should take. I pray for Mickey Pittman, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would come into his life, that you would touch Mickey, Lord, in a special way. that he would surrender. Surrender it all unto you, Lord. And that Wayne might be healed. Lord, what a burden it is on earth that have lost loved ones. I've got a son that's living in complete rebellion, Lord, and I worry about him every day. Lord, I can't save him, and I can't make him be saved.
Yes,
but I can pray for him.
Yes,
I pray for the Ricky Zorn family as they lost that loved one today. Lord, I pray for each one in this building, Lord, that you would touch them as you see fit, Lord. Sometimes the touch may not be all that pleasing to us at the moment. But, Lord, your touch is always in love and kindness and mercy and grace. And I thank you for that, Lord. I pray for our preacher. I pray you'd touch him tonight, Lord. That you'd free his lips and lose his tongue, Lord. He might sing the praises of Jesus Christ as he brings our lesson, Lord, that he may reveal in every verse our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come to you in prayer that was given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, the right to come boldly and with thanksgiving before your throne. Lord, I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Jimmy. If you will, I want to ask you to go ahead and take your Bibles. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 13. Exodus chapter 13. We're going to go ahead and have our Wednesday night Bible study offering too. If I can have a couple fellas come help us with that. And then right when we're done, the offering is going to come and jump right into the Word tonight. And continue to pray for one another. Again, thank you so much for being here. Brother Mickey, will you pray for our offering this evening? Amen. Thank you, Miss D. If you will, let's go to Exodus chapter number 13 tonight. Exodus chapter 13. Man, I'm so glad you're here this evening and looking forward to our time together in the Word of God tonight. And so glad that you came. Do be praying for our young people and that you pray for them and you pray for God. Continue to work in them. And don't forget about all the things going on there and pray for one another. I'm glad you're here. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, if you look right in the pew in front of you, there's a purple Bible there. You can take it and go with me to page number 86. Page 86. And you want to keep your Bible out tonight so you can see this, all right? You want to see this and everything that is happening tonight. And I am so thankful that you are here. Let's stand together, if you will. If you don't mind, let's stand together. Exodus chapter number 13, and let's get right into it tonight and get out of here on time. And boy, again, thank you for coming. And remember, update too, okay? Where we've been the last couple of weeks or month, actually, where we've been to. You remember they came, and God came to Moses, said, Moses, I want you to go deliver my people out of Egypt. And then you remember he went, and God set up the Passover for him, went through all the plagues. And then we looked at that last plague, the plague of death, where he went inside and the blood over the doorpost. Now this week we're going to shift gears and look in verse number 17 with me, if you will. Now I want you to imagine just for a moment in your mind, before we read this, I want you to imagine that you sat down in January and you wrote out a budget for your family, and man, you got done. It's February the 6th now, and you got that notebook out, and you made it through the month, and you didn't get took to prison, amen? And you didn't get took to prison, amen? And not only that, you had money left over and not able to, you don't have to go to McDonald's. You can take the whole family to Sam's, all right? Friday night, catfish, fillets, all you can, I'm preaching. Somebody say amen, amen? Hey, you got money left over. Now watch this. Everything's going good. Now I want you to keep that in your mind. Look at verse 17. Chapter 13, verse number 17, the Bible says this. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. And there's a reason for that. And before we get to where we're going to 14, why did God not let them go through the Philistines? It had been shorter. This is why. It's a picture here of just getting saved. And God did not want them to go through a tough time, to go through a warlike people of the Philistines. Why? Because they would run away from it. Look what happens. Although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. God didn't want them to go in through a bad time. Listen, everything's going good. Look at verse 18. But God led the people out through the way to the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt, and they took the body of Joseph with them. Verse 20. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. Now, and the Lord went before them by what? Day, in a pillar of a, say it with me, cloud, to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of what? Fire. They were never alone. God was always with them to give them light to go by day and night. Now, why is that verse important? This is why. Because every night when they went to bed, if they woke up in the middle of the night, it was dark, they looked around, the fire was there. They knew that God was with them. If they woke up in the middle of the day, and in the middle of the day they took a nap, woke up at lunchtime, after their nap, looked around, there was a cloud there. They knew God was with them. Hey, they didn't just hear him say he would be with them, but they knew he was with them because he was there. But look in verse, the next verse. Look what happens here. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now, if you will, real quick tonight, let's pray together as we jump into this. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that you're such a good God to us. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight for the good times in our lives as Christians, that you make everything go right, Lord. And it seems like nothing can go wrong. Every prayer that we pray gets answered. Every thought that we have comes to fruition. Everything goes good in every area of our life. Our relationships are good. Our home's good. Our thoughts are good. Our energy's good. Life seems to be successful. Lord, we thank you for the good times. But Lord, tonight, I want to leave this building thanking you for the bad times, Lord. Thank you for the times when we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's next. We don't know what's happening, Lord, but I pray this now tonight, you make this simple for us in our hearts. Teach us, Lord, to trust you in the darkness. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for letting us be here. And all God's people say it. Amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want you to imagine, if you can, with me real quick tonight, just for a little bit. Before I get down in here, I was going to sit down in it like I should, but I'm afraid I won't get up. Amen. And so and I want you to imagine just for a moment tonight, though, that you went up north in Columbus. And you got up there where they have those whitewater rafts up there. And you got out there and you got your little raft and you get down in the water and you begin to go upstream, okay? Not with the current, against the current, all right? So there you are. You're paddling. You're going. The water's not very deep and everything's going good. You're having fun. If you want to go right, you just paddle left and you go right. If you want to go left, you just paddle right and you go left. And everything's going good. But then they have a rookie running the dam 4 miles up creek. And he gets up there and they go tell him to turn it down a little bit. And instead of him turning down the water, he turns up the water. And you notice as you're paddling, the water's getting faster and faster. And you look around the curve and you see waves start to white cap. And you're trying to move around and you're trying to stay safe out there. And before you know it, the water has risen 3 or 4 feet and the rapids are now rushing. And there you are, you out there, and you just trying to stay alive. If you follow me so far, say amen. Now watch this, and while you're paddling and everything's going, everything went from great to now you're scared, you're worried, and while you're paddling, you lose your paddle. And there you are out there in the middle of the current. You're afraid something's going to happen. You don't know what's going to come next. And you feel like you're in danger. And you're looking around and your prayer is, God, what in the world? If you could just get me out of here, I'll never come back. And you say, but Joel, why are you sitting in that raft tonight? This is why. Because there's times in our life as Christians when we get here. We get up the creek, if I can use an old terminology, an old story. We get up the creek without a paddle. And you get up there, and man, the current that you're in is stronger than you. You have no way to fight against them. And it seems like it doesn't matter what you do, where you go, what you're trying, nothing is working. And there you are. You're at a place in your life where you say, God, what is going on? What is next? Am I okay? Am I going to be all right? Am I going to make it through this? And is my family going to be okay? Is my life going to be okay? And we begin to ask God a question. We say, God, why have you allowed me to get here at this place in my life? Why have you done this? Why is it important? Because in our text tonight, if you will, look at your statement with me. God's people have departed from Egypt for a couple days now, and they have found themselves up the creek without a paddle. And Moses shows us tonight how to deal with these times in our lives. And I want to say this tonight, Christian. Moses and God's people, they quickly went from everything going good. God was there with them in the daytime. He was with them in the nighttime. To man, everything seemed to turn over, and they lost their paddle. They didn't know what was next. They didn't know what was coming. They didn't know what was going to happen. But hey, I'm glad while they were there, so was their God. Amen. Somebody say amen tonight. God was there with him. And they may have been in scary times. They may have been up the creek without a paddle, but God was up that creek too. God was in the boat with them. And I want to say tonight, Christian, when you get to a place in your life where you feel like you're up the creek without a paddle, what do you do? What do you do? You say, Brother Joey, I fix it. Here's the problem. You can't fix it because you ain't God. You ever been there where something was going on, you wanted to change, but you couldn't change it because you wasn't God. You wasn't the person that could change it. What do you do? What do you do when you get there? And Moses tonight shows us how we do with it and how to deal with it in that time of life. And I want you to look at number one tonight in your statement with me, if you will. Number one, first of all tonight, the Word of God here teaches us, don't panic. Don't panic. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Look over in chapter 14. Look in verse number 3. Look what the Bible says happens here in verse number 3. The Bible says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath. Hey, will you say these three words with me? Shut them in. Now watch this tonight. In verse 3, here's what the Bible says. So they've come out of Egypt, everything's going good. They've had their feast, they've celebrated a week. Everything is going the way they hoped it would, and God has kept pressure off of them. And then all of a sudden, while they're traveling, they come to this place. Now watch this. They come to this place where they're almost like a dog tag, a dog arm if you can, where there's a Red Sea right here. And as they get down here to this place, they're almost there, and the Bible says they camp out. And while they camp out, they're close down here to the place. And they're surrounded on all the calls down here by the Red Sea. And while they get there, they're camping out. I want you to look what happens in verse 8. Look what takes place in verse number 8. The Bible says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. In verse number 8, your statement says, Pharaoh pursues them with an army and closes them in. Now, I want you to think just a moment. They get down there, they're camping out by the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, they hear noises coming over the hill. And we don't know how far away it was from them, but we do know this. Somebody in their camp said, y'all, that's Pharaoh. That's Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. And the Bible says that Pharaoh and the Egyptian army had come to them. Now watch me right here. Get a hold of this so you get the next part here. Here the children of Israel are. The Red Sea has them surrounded on like a third of the side. And then out behind them comes Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. So what are they doing now? They are closed in. They are closed in. And hey, they feel like they're up the creek without a paddle. And what happens? I want you to look what God says in verse number 13. Look what he says. Verse 13, chapter 14, verse 13, the Bible says, and Moses said unto the people, what's the next three words? fear ye not. Let's look at verse 13, okay? Look at verse 13. Hey, we have no problem shouting, saying amen with the sportscaster. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto people, what's the words? Fear ye not. Now watch this. Why did he say this? In verse 13, Moses tells them, God says to fear not. Now this term fear not means to not be afraid, don't be filled with panic, or don't allow drama, you listen to me, to creep into your life. Don't get to the place where drama overbecomes you because of the situation you're in. And then Moses was letting them know, I think this is your statement, what was happening. God knew what was happening. He knew right where they were and had a specific plan to deliver them from this. And I want to say tonight, Christian, when you find yourself in a place where you feel like you're up the creek without a paddle, it is important to remember that God is aware of your situation. He knows exactly where you are, and He has a plan to deliver us. Now, why is that important? Won't you look at me just a second? Because if you ain't there tonight, you're probably just enjoying the story. But if you're there in your life tonight, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it means to be filled with panic. Can I get a witness tonight? You know what it means to lay in bed and wonder what is going to happen because of what you're going through. You know what it means to drive down the road and say, God, why? Why, God? Why have you allowed this? Could you imagine those people? They said, hey, Moses, why did God bring us out of Egypt and bring us down here so we could die out here in the wilderness? And Moses says, hey, God says, fear not. Don't panic. Don't you lose it. Don't lose your mind. And the first thing that happens when you get up the creek without a paddle, do not panic. But now I want to say this. 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 Please pay attention here. If you're still with me, say, go ahead. Number two, be patient. I know that's not what you wanted to hear tonight. I know it's not what you wanted to hear. But will you look at verse 13 with me? Look what the Bible says. Verse number 13, the Bible says this. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Why? Stand still and see the what? Salvation of the Lord. Now watch this. Which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your what? Peace. Now look at your statement with me, if you will. Moses tells them to stand still. What does it mean to stand still? To stand still means to listen to this, to choose to patiently remain where you are until God shows you clear direction. I want to tell you tonight, I know tonight that I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be the super encourager and just, I'm supposed to not say things that don't look bad, but I want to say this. I don't like being patient. Anybody else in here like got that? I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we had a wood-burning fireplace. Them things smell good and they sound good, but it took a long time to get them things rolling. You freeze to death before you got hot, amen? Now all you got to do is push a button and go over there by the vent, amen? And you'll be warm in 30 seconds. Now, why? We don't like patience. But I got a question tonight. Moses was sent by God to tell those people, don't you fear not, don't panic, stand still, be patient, wait. Why? This is why. Why does God want you to be patient tonight? Some of you are here right now, you've asked yourself, God, why is this happening? Why does God want you to be patient? This is why. Because until you're patient, you will never be convinced that only God can deliver you. Until you learn patience, you'll never be convinced that only He can deliver you. Because here's what we do. We try to fix it. Amen? Hey, we got one of our new convert families in our church right now. Called me this weekend. All this is going on. And here was my first praying to them. Don't run from God. Run what? To Him. And then here's what they said. You ready? Oh, we'll be there next week, preacher. I just got to fix this. And I texted back. That is the problem. You're not going to be able to fix it. And we have to learn to be patient. We have to learn to sit there and say, okay, God, I can't go forward. I can't go back. I can't go to the right. I can't go left. I don't know what's going to happen. What do you want me to do, Lord? Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. And understand tonight, when you're at that place where you don't know what's going to happen. Here the children of Israel were. They came out of Egypt. They were surrounded by Pharaoh's army. And they say, God, what do you want us to do? And God said, stand there. Stand here. God, come stay there. Why? And see what God will do in your life. And I want to tell you, when we're patient, we're able to learn what our God can do. I want you to look at number three, though, tonight. And we're moving on. We'll be done. Number one, don't panic. Number two, be patient. Number three, please stay with me right here. Stay obedient. Stay obedient. What do you mean, Brother Joyce, stay obedient? Watch this. Moses quickly pressed them to stay calm, to wait on God, and be willing to be faithful to Him. And sometimes in situations like this in our life, Christians, we find ourselves running from God instead of running to God. But I want to say tonight, Christian, that when you get to the place in your life where you're out there, the water's rising, the waves are getting higher, you've lost your paddle, and you're out there, let's make it a little worse, you don't have a life jacket on, amen? And let's make it even worse, you can't swim. Not only that, you don't even like water, and you're out there, and you say, God, what in the world are you going to do? And God says, just sit there, just stand there, and just wait on me. Be faithful to me. Why? Because God says, if you will be patient and wait on me, you keep me in the picture. But I'm going to show you what happens here. Here's what happens in our life. Something comes. Instead of being patient and waiting on God, what do? We run from God, and we get out there, and we try to make it happen ourselves. And I'm going to tell you what happens then. God is over here, and we're over here. And when we do not stay faithful to God, we eliminate God from the situation. And my friend and I, you have to stay obedient to God. Why? Because that is where we will see the salvation of the Lord. Now, Brother Joey, why should I stay faithful? Why should I stay faithful? I want to give you these two thoughts. If you're still with me, say amen. Number one tonight, here's your statement. First of all, because He's going to lead you. Stay faithful to Him. He's going to lead you. Look what He says in verse number 15. In chapter 14, verse number 15, God sends Moses word, and He says this. In verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, watch this, that they go forward. Now, He will lead you. You see, God told them to march towards the Red Sea, and Moses would part the water with the rod. Now, think with me just a moment. They were all going crazy. Moses said, hey, don't panic. Stay put. Be patient. See what God will do. And then God said, hey, I want you to go towards the Red Sea. Now, I want to say tonight, please follow this. Could you imagine being in their shoes? There you are. The army's out here. The Red Sea's out here. And God said, start walking towards the Red Sea. Now, you say, Brother Joey, that don't make sense. Can I get a witness about that? Why did God tell them to do it? I can't answer all that, but I promise you this. What if they wouldn't obey? What if they wouldn't have started walking towards the Red Sea? What if they would not have done what God told them to do? See, they allowed God to lead them to where they needed to be. And Christian, when you are at a place like this in your life, you have to stay faithful to God. Why? Because He will lead you to where you need to be. But not only will He lead you where you need to be, but look at 19. Look at verse 19, what happens. Not only will He lead you, but He will protect you. He will protect you. Verse number 19. Look what the Bible says there. If you're still breathing, say amen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Listen, this is incredible. You got to remember this too. This didn't happen over months. They weren't able to vote on this. It happened. And the Bible says while they are going towards the Red Sea, now you got to use your imagination here. Pharaoh's army starts coming towards them, and maybe somebody said, this is it, they're about to get us. And the angel of the Lord, the Bible says, the one that had the cloud by day, the fire by night, that's how they knew God was there, came behind God's people, between them and the Egyptians. And He set up a wall, and He was there, and on this side, the children of Israel were able to see, and on this side, the Bible says it was nothing but darkness. And you say, Brother Joey, what was God doing? You ready for this? He was protecting them, and He will protect you too. He's going to take care of you. Whatever you're doing, He's right there with you. He's not going to leave you by yourself. He didn't leave them there. He led them where they needed to go, but he protected them. He stayed right there with him. And do you know tonight, Christian, that when you come this in your life to situations like this, don't panic. Don't lose your mind. Don't freak out. Oh, this is it. It's not it. God had brought you to that, and he's going to take you through it. Now, you don't know when, you don't know how, and you don't know why, but he will. Why? Because he is your God. Can somebody say amen about that tonight? But be patient. Be patient. Don't start making decisions when you don't know what to do. Don't start making crazy decisions. God, I'm going to do this. God, I'm going to do this. No, you be patient and wait on God and let God show you who he is. And then number three, you stay obedient to him. Now, I want to be honest with you tonight. I want to make a statement right here. This is a different statement than you can hear on TV preaching. But I want you to stay with me. If you're still with me, say, go ahead. If you come to something like this in your life and you want to know, how can I know that God is going to take care of me? You stay faithful to him and he's going to show up. He will take care of you and he will lead you. I guarantee you why, because that's what he said he would do. And if you die, Brother Joey, it is an option. You will die with peace. You know why? Because he'll be right there with you. He'll be right there with you. But here's what happens as Christians. When we go through something like this, we quit. We quit. God, I was in this for the good. What about when it goes from good to bad? What are you going to do then? Don't quit on God. Stay faithful to him. Be obedient to him. Why? Because while you are doing what he told you to do, he will lead you, he will protect you, and he will show you who he is. Now, before we get to the concluding thoughts, let me get the rest of it, because there's some of you in here, this may be new to you. Watch what happens. Here they are. They're sitting there. The Red Sea is before them. Pharaoh's army is behind them. God has set up a wall that they can't come through. And they get out there, and the Bible says they pull the rod, Moses and the rod, over the Red Sea. Listen to this. And the Red Sea parts. Now, I know on TV tonight, they show them walking through there and whales flying by the way. I don't know how all that happened, but I know this. I know that the waters parted, and they walked through on dry ground. Now, watch this. They get done. Maybe they took the shoes off and they were knocking the sand out of their sandals. I don't know what was happening. When they get done, they look around and there come Pharaoh's army right through the parting waters. Now I want to say this. This is a different sermon for a different day in another way, but listen to this. If I'd have been Pharaoh's army and he just run through that Red Sea, I'd have been like, God didn't part that water for us. He parted it for them. I learned my lesson back there in Egypt. I ain't doing it. You go ahead, Pharaoh. I'll watch the dogs. Amen. Now watch this. They didn't. They went into the Red Sea. You know the story. God's people got out on the other bank. God enclosed the waters and wiped out Pharaoh's army. Now, why did God let them go through this? Why? Why? Why, Brother Joey, does God allow us to go through these times in our lives? Why? Number one, look at your concluding thoughts here. Number one, he does it to increase our faith. I want you to look at verse 31. Look what the Bible says. Chapter 14, verse 31. If you're still glad you saved, nice, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, look at verse 31. And the Bible says, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord God did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and what? Believed the Lord. Hey, watch this. He increased their faith. God allowed them to go through this. You ready for this? To help them have confidence in his ability to take care of them. Brother Joey, I got all the confidence in God in the world, really? Then why you struggle obeying him? You know what obedience is, don't you? Obedience is a result of faith. Oh, I believe God. No, you don't. You don't believe he's a man of his word. Because he said, you follow me, I'll take care of you. You be faithful to me, and everything will be okay. You know why we're not faithful to him? We're not faithful to him because we don't believe him. So you know what God does? He throws us out in the middle of a ripping, rapping, and he takes the handle out of our hands, and we're sitting out there with no life jacket. We can't swim, and we hate water. You know why? Because he's trying to get my attention. He's trying to show me you can trust me. You can trust me, Moses. Aaron, you can trust me. Miriam, you can trust me. The church, Joshua, y'all can trust me when you get out there. You can trust me, Caleb. You can trust me, Joshua. You can trust me. What is God doing? He's trying to help them see. You can trust God. And I want to say tonight, Christian, I don't care where you are, what you're doing, and what's going on in your life, you can trust Jesus. Somebody say amen tonight. Hey, I want to tell you this. This is more exciting than the Pats and the Eagles. Amen. You can trust him. Do you hear me, ma'am? You can trust him. Whatever's going on in your life tonight, sir, you can trust him. You can trust Jesus. He is alive. There is nothing we're going to study Sunday night. Nothing that has overcome Christ. He is the king of this earth, the world, heaven, the principalities and the power. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And we can trust him. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Hey, you know why God put him through it? Trying to teach him. Trust me. Come over here on my side. Number two, look at this next thing. I like this. I got a minute and a half. We got to hurry. Next bullet, whatever that English word, amen. To reward their faithfulness. To reward their faithfulness. What do you mean, Brother Joey? You remember when we started? You remember that? Remember Exodus? You remember what God told them? Remember this? The first message to them was this. I'm going to put a difference between those of you who are my people and between those who do not follow me. Remember that? And why did God allow them to go through this? He rewarded their faithfulness. He rewarded them. He was letting them know, you follow me and you'll be okay. One of the preachers, Carl, I hope I don't hurt you saying this tonight. One of the preacher's favorite statements was this. You do right by God, and he'll do right by you. You be faithful to God, he'll take care of you. You know why we struggle? You listen to me. If you're struggling in this building tonight, it's because you are not being faithful to God somewhere in your life. Because I promise you this, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. And God does not turn his back on his kids. He don't leave us out there in the water by ourselves. We may be scared. We may be worried. We may wonder what's next. But bless God, he's right there in the boat with us. You say, Brother Joe, I can't see him. He's there. I can't feel him. He's there. Why? Because he said he would be. And if he said he would be, you can trust him. Somebody say amen. Number three tonight. Number next, number last, whatever. I want you to see this too, Christian, by the way. I'm going to give you some real Christianity right here, okay? Look what the next thing says here. Look at verse 31, what happens here next. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now look at this next thing. He broadened their fellowship. Their love, listen, and appreciation for other believers and Moses was all deepened as they went through this together. As they went through this together, it deepened their fellowship with the believers. And you know what, Christian? Sometimes, here's what happens. God looks down and he says, my people down there, they not close. They not in unified in the heart. They'll never be the same, but they can be unified in the heart. And God will drop a bomb of scariness off in that congregation. Why? To bind them together, to bring them together, to bring them to the point where they see God together, and it will broaden their fellowship, and it will give you a deeper love for your brother in Christ. Why? Because you just went through the waters together. Can I get a witness? I want to tell you tonight. Say, but Joy, here I am. Here I am. What do you do? Number one. You ready? Don't. Listen to me tonight, ma'am. Listen, please listen. God is with you, and you don't have to worry about that. Don't panic. Be patient. Be patient. You give God time, you ready, to work out there, but also to work in here. They learned something from God by going through this. They learned something about God. They learned that God would destroy the Egyptians, but they also learned that he's going to take care of his people. They learned it. In this situation. Number three, stay faithful to him. I want to ask you this. Before this all started in your life, are you more faithful to him now than you were when it began? Or are you less faithful to him now? You see, God allows us to go through these Red Sea moments. Why? Because He is trying to teach us who He is and that we can trust Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes closed. Father, Lord, I thank You tonight for Your Word. I thank You for these beautiful pictures, Lord, that were given as examples to us that You can be trusted, that You're trustworthy. Lord, as we look back on those believers there by the Red Sea, God, I cannot imagine what was going through Moses' mind. Lord, it seemed like all the cards were stacked against him. God's people were out there. They didn't understand why they had had enough faith to leave Egypt, and then You brought them there to kill them in the wilderness. But God, You came through. You led them. You protected them. And they had to wait and see You do Your thing, but Lord, You brought them through, and they got through the other side. They looked back, and they saw what You did to Pharaoh, but they saw what You did for them. And Lord, their faith in You was stronger, and their love for one another was stronger as they went through it together. And God, this evening, I pray that You'll be with those in this building tonight, and You will use Your Word in their life, because there's some in this building tonight that are going through this in their life right now. Lord, use Your Word and help us to know that we can trust Jesus. And God, prepare our hearts for this weekend. Prepare us for Sunday school and this Sunday morning, Lord, and our job as believers and being witnesses, and Sunday night and everything that is in Christ. And Lord, I just pray that You'll prepare us and You'll be with our folks and protect those, Lord, from sickness, and bring us back together Sunday to worship You. Jesus, we thank You for loving us. Thank You for letting us be here. We pray this in Your name, Jesus, and all God's people say it. Amen. Amen.